The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
It's Ian Guider in for Matt today, and I'm delighted to be joined here in studio by Dr. Sabina Brennan, psychologist, neuroscientist and best-selling author. And you're here to talk about your new book, which has just come out, The Neuroscience of Manifesting, The Magical Science of Getting the Life You Want. Sabina, it's great to see you. Manifesting, it's a little bit new age, a little bit social media influencer, and even in the intro to the book yourself, you say it's a little bit woo. Why is a serious scientist like you looking at manifesting?
Yeah, I suppose, you know, in the book I talk about weeding out the woo. And I guess I could see I'm sort of really on a mission to get people to understand how their brains work and how they can keep them healthy and how they can understand, if they understand how their brain works, they can understand how they work. And then they can optimize their true potential. And I kind of see a lot of similarities with manifesting. But also, as you said, a lot of misinformation, misconceptions, woo, pseudoscience, whatever term you want to use. But I still figured there was something at the core. I didn't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, or put it another way, I didn't want to throw the woo out with the real science. And so I spent a lot of time, I mean, I worked on this book for about a year and took it very seriously. I spent a lot of time reading manifesting books to find out, you know, what was there, listening to podcasts, listening to whatever. And if you peel back a lot of the misconceptions, misinformation, the pseudoscience, at the core are some very, very well-founded, scientifically grounded steps and techniques that are used by well-respected professionals, psychologists, doctors, psychotherapists, sports people, etc. So at the core, there is solid science. The thing is to understand where this, what aspects of it
is there a difference between, as you mentioned there, particularly in sports, there are a lot of people in it, and business as well use it. But is it not just people, I really want my life to be better. How can I make my life better? Please make my life better. Is that really a science?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, the thing is, I suppose the word manifesting means making things happen. And of course, it's associated a lot with magic and mystical aspects. But if you think about it, really think about it, science is just magic explained. So when we don't understand something, or we don't understand how something works, historically, from an evolutionary perspective, whatever way you want to look at it, we have always attributed it to supernatural forces, or, you know, thunderstorms, God, the gods are angry, we need to do something different. But then once something mysterious is examined and explored using the scientific method, and we discover what's actually going on, that thing moves from the realm of magic to the domain of science. And in essence, that's kind of what I wanted to do with this book, is actually move the core aspects from that realm of magic into the domain of science. And I mean, the thing is, there's plenty of the practices. I mean, I read a lot of, you know, obviously scientists' comments as well, and interviews. And there was one, and I quoted in the book, I can't remember which particular publication it was in, but a respected scientist saying that, you know, that manifesting is just magical thinking. However, there's an awful lot of it that sounds like CBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy. And I have no truck with that. And I suppose this is what I'm kind of trying to say is, well, actually, yes, a lot of the things that underlie manifesting also underlie the idea behind cognitive behavioral therapy, which is as far from woo as you can get, and which is solidly grounded in science, and which has, you know, lots of studies showing its effectiveness in various aspects of our life. People would associate it with maybe anxiety, depression, but lots of other aspects. And basically, the idea behind CBT is that our thoughts influence our perceptions. And manifesting really is the same thing. Our thoughts influence how we perceive our reality and how we behave in the world. And the manifesting that is referenced on the likes of TikTok. I'm not on TikTok myself, but I heard the latest figure, the latest figures are something like 30 billion mentions of the hashtag manifesting on TikTok. That manifesting, and even in the books or the core, really should probably be called conscious manifesting, because we are unconsciously manifesting our reality and our future all of the time. You think about what you want to do, and then you take the actions, the steps to arrive at that goal. But you, that unconscious behavior is influenced by your biases, by your unconscious biases, by your own limiting beliefs, by your previous experience, by your brain's best guess about what's going to happen. Because your brain really is just a prediction machine. And I suppose what manifesting tries to do is get you to more consciously act so that you can work towards your goals.
But can our brains really allow us to change our behaviour? Are we not just set from the day we're born that you might be a nervous person, you might be a positive person, or somebody might be a negative person, might be a fearful person?
Yeah, and I do. I address that in the book. Okay, we do. We are born with certain dispositions, but our interaction with the world and with the environment and our family upbringing can dictate whether that disposition, say something like anxiety, actually comes to the fore. There's so many factors. Always in a room, I think, our evolution, your environment, your upbringing, your experiences. But the thing is that I do talk about the book is that our sense of self, I've a whole chapter really around this because it's really important. If you want to know what you truly want to manifest, you really need to know who you really are. And the thing is, who we are, our sense of self, is just a story made up by our brain from available data. Now, a lot of that data could be obsolete, was never true. There's a likening I do with Wikipedia in the book. Basically, you know, your memories about yourself can be distorted or influenced by what other people think. A lot about what we think of as ourselves is a just someone else's opinion, but we never fact check it. We never go back and say, is it really true that I'm bad at maths? Is it really true that I'll never make anything of myself? And so you actually can go back. It's not easy, you know, because a lot of our behaviours are ingrained. They've become habitual, unthinking. But they are learned behaviours. They are not innate behaviours. It is the capacity to change, the neuroplasticity that is innate. So our ability to change is innate. Who we think we are is not innate. It has been learned.
So how do we change? How do we teach ourselves to, as you said in the subtitle, get the life we want? What do we have to do?
So if we go through the core steps of manifesting, you know, one of the first steps is clarity. And that's about gaining clarity about what you want. And visualization actually is a really, really good tool to help you give clarity. And manifesting encourages really detailed visualization. And one of the benefits of that detail is actually if you go right through to the end, you might go, oh God, I don't think I really want that. I don't think I want to have to go. I think I want a six pack, but I don't think I really want a life that involves me going to the gym for 3 hours a day. Oh, okay. Maybe I'll just be happy with being the right weight I am. So that's kind of one thing. Clarity generally is the first step in books, but I think there's two preceding steps that are often referred to by manifestors as sort of underlying. I'd call them foundational principles. And they are self-compassion, being kind to ourselves, something us Irish people find really difficult to do. But if you are kind to yourself, you get boosts of serotonin, you get increased confidence. Self-compassion is actually associated with increased happiness and contentment. And if you peel back everything that anyone wants, you keep asking why, till you get to the real core of why. It's usually because we think it will make us happy. We want to be happy. And happiness is a side effect of self-compassion. Connecting with yourself is very important. Manifesting encourages self-awareness. And that's one way in which it works because it encourages you to question those limiting beliefs that may be stopping you from getting where you want to go. At a fundamental level, manifesting is about change. And your brain was built for change. It evolved for change. That is how we as a species have evolved to become the top of the animal kingdom. Now, we might be responsible for knocking ourselves off that and into extinction, but is our capacity to adapt and change with learning that has imbued in us, you know, all those qualities of being able to achieve and respond and change. So we have that huge capacity for change. The next important step is, and I'm almost there, the next important step is, I call it coherence because I've called everything by a C, the six C's of manifesting. Coherence is making sure that your thinking, your feeling, your behavior is all aligned with that vision for the goal you have, but also with what is important to you, who you truly are. And then really the creation of the new life is helped and supported through adopting various manifesting techniques like affirmations, visualizations, gratitude journaling, acting as if. I don't know if you've heard about that. Like, I kind of call it fake it till you make it.
There's a lot of people are good at that.
Yeah, well, I think it's really important to understand that acting as if is actually, it's a form of visualization. I use an example actually way before I wrote this book. I do it in a lot of my corporate wellness talks, is about smiling. So when you smile, serotonin is released, your blood pressure is lowered, you get a little boost to your immune function. It's really, really good for you. And most people think that you have to have something to smile about. Well, actually, what the research shows is if you fake a smile by literally just putting your muscles in that place, you get all of those health benefits. So that's a prime example of faking it till you make it. So you fake a smile, ultimately you will start to feel better because you've had a release of serotonin. And that's where one of the real ways I think the brain is really clever. I used to be confused by why, if the brain is the most complex structure in the known universe, how is it fooled by a synthetic smile? And then I realized, it is because it is so clever. It's given us this really simple tool that can help to boost our feel-good hormones and lower our blood pressure in times of stress. The same with laughter. You know, the best thing you can do and the thing we instinctively do during some of the worst moments of our lives is to laugh about it, you know? And with laughter, laughter actually physically lowers cortisol levels. So it is a great natural stress buster. And, you know, times of grief, what do we do at funerals here in Ireland? We tell funny stories. And I think that's almost the brain knowing, oh my God, this stress is too much. It's too much. Let's laugh so that we can kind of get the levels back down again. I told you I talked a lot.
I know. I'd say I could ask you so many more questions, but we are out of time. But Dr. Sabina Brennan, thank you very much for coming in. The book is The Neuroscience of Manifesting, The Magical Science of Getting What You Want.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.